have this grace is something that is working inside of us as we yield to God. So we yield to God, as we yield to Him, and we say, I'm not going to be works orientated. I'm not going to be about what I've done and how good a Christian I am, how worthy I am. It's not about me and all of that I've done. It's about Jesus and all that Jesus has accomplished on my behalf. That's the emphasis for the Christian life. So that when I mess up, I'm no longer looking to my mess ups. In what happens with so many Christians is when they mess up in life, they look to their mess ups, they become depressed because of their mess ups, they become guilt ridden because of their mess ups, and because they're in a depressed and guilt ridden condition, they mess up some more. Rather than saying, I'm alive to the grace that Jesus has given me. I'm alive to the message of the gospel of grace, the gospel of His love. And now when I mess up and I do things wrong, what I'm going to do is, instead of being self-condemnation, instead of feeling terrible guilt, and instead of being bound in this awful mess in my mind, what I'm going to do is I'm going to say, oh, thank you, Lord Jesus, that despite me, despite all my mess-ups, despite my lack, thank you for that man called Jesus Christ who went to the cross. Because on the cross, what he did was he took all of my sin and instead he imputed his righteousness into me. So that now when God looks at me, he doesn't see me filled with the mess-ups, filled with the sin, filled with all the junk. God doesn't see that. What God sees is someone who is washed in the blood of His Son, someone who is clean before Him. In fact, the scriptures teach that what God sees now is the righteousness of God in Christ when He looks at me. Isn't that something? Oh, it makes me happier than it does you. That's for I mean, that is shouting stuff, my friends. That's the gospel of His grace. It's the gospel of His grace. I mean, it's the most wonderful news ever given to mankind. And I think instead of that, the church has preached a condemnation type of gospel. They tend to try and get people condemned and trying to control people with condemnation and guilt and fear and all of that. But, you know, the clue's in the message. It's the gospel, the good news that Jesus gave. It's good news. Good news for who? Good news for people who mess up like you and I. Amen? Amen. And I'm preaching this morning. Let me say this. I'm preaching this so that we take this on board. I really want us to leave with this resonating in our thinking. This isn't just a case of, well, he'll be over soon, and then we'll have a nice cup of tea and biscuits. Please don't think that. Try and get this into our minds, that it sinks down into our hearts. Because if we get it into our minds and it sinks into our hearts, when it comes then to speaking to someone about a cell group and saying, hey, would you like to come to a cell group? There's going to be some enthusiasm behind it, because they're going to find out this good news that they don't need to live condemned and guilt-ridden and depressed. They can live free because of Jesus and what Jesus has done. It says that who the Son sets free is free indeed. Free from that guilt, free from all of that, because He loves us. I mean, I have Macy and Sam, and sometimes Macy and Sam, you know, they do mess up. You know, there's some naughty things that go on. I mean, really, some of the naughty things. So there was a bite recently to do with an action figure or something. It was a Lego figure, and someone had taken the Lego figure, and there was a whole scenario about this Lego figure. It ended up with Sam biting Macy. I mean, he's a very determined little boy. I wonder where he gets it. Well, my mother-in-law, she's a very determined lady. You'll meet her later on this year. She'll be here in December. no, But you know, what do I think of Sam when he does that? Well, I'm not pleased, obviously. I'm not pleased. But you know, I speak to him and I say, now, why did you do it? What went on? He said, well, she took my face. And then what do I do then? Am I holding it against him? This morning, do you think I'm holding a grudge against Sam because of what he did? Have a guess. Go on, have a wild guess. No, I'm not holding anything against him at all. I love that little darling, and no matter what he could do, nothing's going to change that. Well, guess what God thinks of us? If that's the way a human can love their son, how about Almighty God loving his children? He loves us. You know, and the religion of Christianity has so often got us feeling condemned and we've lost the good news. We've lost the gospel. So often the gospel is lost in guilt and condemnation. But my friends, I believe, I wondered this week I was thinking to myself, what could happen in Great Britain to see the gospel once again like a wildfire spread across this land? Is it possible that could happen with God? Well, of course, the answer was yes. And I said, well, Lord, what could it be then that would cause that? And I thought, well, it's the gospel of his grace. If people get a hold of this good news, this grace, then people would love to hear this grace. They'd love to hear this. Most of the time, what they've heard from the church is the religion of Christianity. And it's like one of many types of religions. Take your pick. It's people working their ways to God, working themselves to God. But in truth, the gospel of his grace is that he knew we couldn't do that. So he sent his son. And that's all I have to do. This is all I have to do is believe. You say, surely there's something else. No. Nothing else. If I come to church every day and I pray and I fast, I'm 4 hours in the prayer and I'm studying the scriptures, it doesn't change my position with God. Now, what it might do is it doesn't change this vertical position. What it will do, however, is change the horizontal position. It'll change the way people relate to me, and more importantly, the way that I relate to other people. So it is of benefit. I'm not saying there isn't benefit, because we become a far more, I think that we become easier to get along with, and we become more able to transmit the gospel. So there's great benefit. But it doesn't change my position before God. And this is a vital aspect of the gospel of grace. I just want us to take this on board, because I know that for us to reach people, this is the message that will reach people. This really is it. Telling people this gospel good news. Because most people out there feel condemned. Most people just feel condemned. You don't have to go up to people and say, well, did you know that, and give them a sort of, a warning type gospel message. They already feel condemned. They really do. What they need to hear is the good news. That God loves them. That God thinks they're so precious. They've been condemned by their family members, by society, by church, they've been condemned by everyone. They need to hear that God loves them. He knows the amount of hairs on their head. And as I look at Sam as he's been his naughtiest and love him, when they're really naughty and they're doing whatever they're doing, God loves them. And God has commissioned you and me to reach them. He wants us to reach them. He's given us that job, that commission. Well, preaching a religion isn't going to do it. Showing his gospel of grace and love, now you're talking. I'm convinced that this is what we must lead with as we consider how we're going to reach this community. You know, we strain, as I've said, you know, I'm going to be a good Christian today. I'm not going to lose my temper or get involved in those other things. I'm going to pray and study the Bible, and it goes on and it goes on, and then we fail. And there's law, and there's guilt, and there's condemnation. And then there's law, and there's guilt, and there's condemnation. And it's just a circle of defeat. My friends, if there's one sentence I want us all to hear today, it's this. It's not what you do that makes you righteous. It's what Christ has done at Calvary. It's not what you do that makes you righteous. It's what Christ has done at Calvary. Our righteousness is all because of him. Nothing to do with us and our works. So we can walk in liberty. We can walk free and in liberty. In Romans 5:19, it says this. And maybe we can turn there together. Romans 5:19. For as by one man's, Adam, disobedience, many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. It's the obedience of one man, Christ, and not our obedience, that has made you righteous. You say, well, hold on a sec. Wait, this sounds like this is too much. You're going too far with this grace. Surely I've got to do something. Surely there must be something for me to do. Yes, there is. Believe. And that's it. Yes, but, you know, are you saying then? And Paul saw the argument coming, and Paul writes it, and I'll quote Paul. What shall we say then? Shall we sin that grace may abound? That's how Paul worded it. In other words, this gospel of grace is so radical. It's so radical, there's nothing for us to do at all. There's absolutely nothing for us to do apart from to believe. Surely that's easy believism or something else like that, as they, you know, they coin those phrases. Well, call it what you like. It's the gospel of Jesus. It's belief in him alone, and that's it. And you see, what happens is, when that belief becomes a reality, we no longer then try to please God. We stop the trying to please God. But instead of wanting to have a liberty to sin, guess what? Actually, we don't want to sin. You don't want to sin. You want to please God. You just want to be close to God, because what he's given us is so rich. It's so beautiful. It's so rich. It's so wonderful, this gospel. I don't want to go off and leave this gospel. I want to be so close to it. I want to be close to Jesus. I don't want to use a liberty for sin. No, no way. No one who really gets this message wants to do that. Jesus sets us free from condemnation. And we are so thankful that we just want to follow him and share his gospel. Is it making sense this morning?
Yes.
It says in Romans 6:11, something very beautiful. It says, likewise, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. In other words, reckon yourself to be dead to sin. So when sin comes, when things come, and what happens is, through a legal type of mindset, an Old Testament mindset, when sin comes, instead of us focusing on the sin and thinking, oh, I'm such a terrible person. What a terrible person I am. Oh, aren't I awful? Aren't I terrible? Oh, how could I be so wicked? And there I am on Sunday. I'm in church. Oh, I don't want to go to church anymore. And they stop coming to church. This is how it works. That legal, mental, wrong thinking. But this scripture is teaching us, reckon yourselves dead to sin. So if sin happens, I'm not going to give it too much time. Okay. I'll use it as a springboard to his grace. So if sin happens, use it as a springboard to God's grace. And say, thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord, for your grace. Thank you, Lord, that you see me as forgiven. Thank you, Lord, that I'm forgiven. Thank you that I'm washed in his blood. I'm clean before you. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for Jesus. So reckon yourselves dead to sin. It's a tremendous way for us to walk in the liberty and freedom of Christ. And this is why Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 2:2, he says this, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. In other words, and I'm coming to a close with this, in other words, what he said was this, everything else wasn't important to him. The important thing to him was Jesus Christ and him crucified. Because as he looked at Jesus Christ and him crucified, he saw that all of his sin was paid for. Everything was paid for then. It was all dealt with there and then. Paul was very familiar with the Old Testament system. He was very familiar with a works-oriented system. Who better then to reveal to us the beautiful truth of God's grace, the authority of this man? And so as he writes these words to us, he determines to know nothing. And notice he says he determines to know nothing. It is an act of the will. Your natural emotions will try and kick in. And your natural emotions will try and get you to feel guilty, to try and get you feeling full of regret, and all those negative things, and enter into the circle of defeat. But if we follow the scriptures, if we take heed of what the scriptures are saying, if we say, I reckon myself dead to sin, I determine to know nothing apart from Jesus Christ and him crucified, then we enter into no condemnation, no condemnation, victory, freedom. No condemnation, victory, freedom. It's the circle of God's grace, and it's ours for the taking. You know, it says in Romans 5:17, it says, they that receive an abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life through one Jesus Christ. Well, they have to receive the abundance of grace. How do we receive it? Well, I can receive anything. Saying, that's for me. Yes, I'll take that. Oh, I like that. I like the sound of that. I'll take it. It's on offer. But they that receive the abundance of grace are the ones who reign in life. What a picture. Who reigns in life? Kings and queens reign in life. There's a picture there of freedom, of liberty, of the gospel of the kingdom message of Jesus Christ. I conclude with this. In the Old Testament, you would have a sacrificial system. And Paul is writing against this backdrop of a sacrificial system. The sacrificial system involved a an offering, a lamb, let's say. But it had to be without spot or blemish. Now, who wants to volunteer?
Stuart?
Oh, thank you. If you can.
I am so sorry. I apologize to the church. I'm to Pastor Steve.
It's okay. Well, because your phone went off, you're a good person for this illustration.
Practice what you preach.
So, this is, let's say, the sacrificial lamb in the Old Testament, and it's without spot or blemish. And so I represent, let's say, the priest in the Old Testament, and now I examine the offering that's brought. So you give the offering, I check to see that this is without spot or blemish. If it's without spot or blemish, this sacrifice is deemed to be worthy, and it can be used. And as a consequence, you are cleansed. But what the Old Testament priest didn't do was he didn't take the sacrifice, lay it to one side, and then examine the individual to see if you were without spot or blemish. You're immaterial to this. You don't matter. What matters is the sacrifice. Fast forward to the New Testament. Jesus is the spotless Lamb of God. He's sacrificed on the cross on behalf of you and I. God's not looking at the spots on you and I. He looked to Jesus. And because he looked to Jesus, and because you and I are in Jesus as believers, God sees us as clean. Clean, clean, clean before him. He's not looking to us. You're clean.
Amen.
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 Thank you.
Amen.
Dear friends, let's enter then into the week ahead in the knowledge of this beautiful gospel of his grace, knowing that we're clean and knowing that we've got some good news to give to people who really do need some good news. As I was going out there, you know, I've been in people's houses, I've prayed with them, I've prayed on the doorsteps with some people. The needs have been great. And bless them, they haven't had the hearts to come. But the needs are great. And we love them. Oh, we just want to see people blessed. We want to see people reached with this gospel of his love and grace. So let's pray now as we go out into the rest of this week. Let's just stand, shall we? And if I ask everyone to close their eyes so that there's just a liberty as people might respond. Heavenly Father, we come before you now. Yes. I just, every eye closed, no one looking around. Is there someone here who wants to just respond and say, I want Jesus as my Lord and Savior? Please put your hand up now if that's you. And Father God, for us who are responding now to your grace. Lord, we ask that we would embrace this gospel of the kingdom, the gospel of grace, that you love us, that we're not under condemnation, but we've been set free from guilt, from the power of sin. And you see us as clean before you because of our wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus. With every eye closed and no one looking around, look, if you want to respond, and I sense that people want to respond, just respond to God. You can respond in your heart. If you want, you can lift your hand. But respond to God now somehow and say, yes, Lord, help me. I want to take on board this gospel of grace, and this I want to share with other people. I want to be used as your vessel to share this gospel with people so that they come to know the fullness of your grace. See people responding. If there's others responding, you feel free. You respond to God and what God wants to do in our lives this morning. I sense a couple of people here this morning as we're closing. I can sense that there's a couple of people, you really feel so condemned. You feel you're just a terrible person. Please, before you leave today, I want you to say no to that. It's just not the truth. But you've lived with that condemnation for years. God says to you this morning, he loves you. You're not condemned, he loves you. You're precious in his sight. Like a father loves their little children, you're precious in his sight. He loves you. You're not condemned. It's a lie of the enemy. You're precious before him. And he wants to hold you tenderly and caress you, so to speak, this morning with his love. Heavenly Father, then we commit ourselves to you. We commit our church to you, Father. We ask, Lord, that you'd continue to speak in and through us. That, Father, Lord, this gospel of your grace and your love will continue to manifest in us as individuals and through us as your church, that many would come to know the beautiful Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you, Lord, that this is your will, and we know that your will is going to come to pass. We thank you for that. We can see it with the eyes of faith. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.